Denver's Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Well, when last we left you, we were just talking about a texter. This goes back to the whole argument. Great poll question raised by Zach Bye on the drive of Nikola Jokic wins a third MVP. Well, when he wins a third MVP. And if the Nuggets win another championship and Jokic is the finals MVP, does he become the Colorado sports GOAT? And a texter said, if Elway played today, he'd have seven championships. Whereas if Jokic had to play in the NBA during Elway's time, it'd be much different right now. How would Elway fare today?
How would he fare today?
How would his style, his game, fit in today's NFL?
Oh, I think it'd fit great.
It'd fit awesome.
It'd be unbelievable.
Kidding me?
Dude with a hose who can just, I mean, fit it anywhere, got a great deep ball, and has the athleticism to run on some of the RPO stuff and the read zone running game and all that. Yeah, are you kidding me? Dude would have been awesome.
John Elway, in his prime, playing in today's NFL, where would he rank among the quarterbacks?
Oh, he'd be one of the best, obviously.
That's not what I asked. One of the best. Where would he rank? Like, okay, would you put Elway in his prime today over Mahomes?
Probably not. I'd probably take Mahomes.
Why? And I know this is like 1-1A material.
I'm here.
1-1A, Zach Bye.
Just what I've seen Mahomes do, and I'm not saying Elway wasn't just tremendous, but some of the stuff Mahomes has done has just been absolutely insane. And some of his improvisation skills,
would he be a better passer than John? John became a better passer later in his career.
I think you have to understand. Like, you know, John never threw more than, 27, 28 TDs or whatever it was. You know what I'm saying?
Right. He never threw 30 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah. And when he came in, if you look at his numbers, you know, completing 55 or 53 or whatever percent.
Which was the norm back then.
Right, because the game was different. I mean, like, when I played in Washington, the number of seven-step drops we threw, like the people of today's generation, the players of today's generation, they go ballistic. How many seven-step drops are you going to have, you know? I used to complain when Kubiak could put more than a couple in the, you know, in a first 15. Like, really? We got 3 7-steppers in there? What are you doing to us, right? But it was just different back then, and the passing game was different. It was about letting the, you know, people clear it out and throwing the deeper to intermediate routes and all that kind of stuff. And so it was just a whole different style of play. So,
but if he's working, John Elway came along and played today for Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay,
where you're throwing it underneath constantly and doing like,
and then taking your shots downfield.
Yeah, he would have been neck and neck with, you know, the Rodgers and the Mahomes, yep. And he'd have been right there.
Yep. Now, the Jokic back in the day. Then this is one that, man, I would love to see it. Man, I would love to see it. Because if there is one little nitpick I would give to what Nikola Jokic is doing right now, it's the people he's going up against.
Correct.
Like, if Rudy Gobert is considered, like, one of the best out there, I would be fascinated. Man, if you could set it up somehow, Jokic against Akeem, Jokic against Jabbar, Jokic against Ewing, Jokic against a healthy Bill Walton, Jokic against, you know, all these big men, what would it look like? Now, I think Jokic would still eat offensively.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. It wouldn't be as easy. The other thing that wouldn't happen, Mike, is he wouldn't bully. Like, the other night against Minnesota, he bullied Gobert, right? It was like toward the end of the third quarter, he got tired of Gobert kind of leaning into him, and he just started beating him up. And you know what? There was nobody that was going to stand up to him on Minnesota. There was nobody. You know, you get back into the bad boy Piston days, somebody hit him in the teeth. There was a different kind of frontier justice.
Yeah, but you'd have Hakeem Olajuwon all of a sudden be like, why am I guarding my guy out at the 3-point line? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Right? So Jokic would get his offensively. I would be fascinated to see is how would he hold up defensively against some of these guys.
Right, because Hakeem Olajuwon was an absolute offensive wizard. Now, nobody shot the three back then. None of those guys shot the three. No. Those big guys, but physically he was going to wear those guys out, and those guys had enough offensive skills that they could have really tested him on the defensive end. That is a great thought.
I'd love to see that. Is it just me or Phil Simms is trying to sabotage the Broncos again by saying good things about Penix? He wants us to have a crappy quarterback. Wow. The vitriol for Phil Simms runs deep in Denver, Colorado.
There's a lot of Phil Simms hate.
A lot of it out there. To the point where you think he's going on the Ross Tucker podcast simply to sabotage the Broncos. I like that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got going on tomorrow?
Oh, I'm going tomorrow morning. First thing. Gonna make my trek up to or down to. Is it down to or up to?
No, you're
up
going
to?
Up.
Going up. Yeah, it's north, right?
Yes.
Going up.
You don't leave the cozy confines of Lone Tree too often, do you? Unless you're going to the airport.
I go to the airport and I don't leave within. I've got about a 2-mile radius of my house.
Exactly. But anyway, continue. You're going up to Boulder.
Up to Boulder. And I'm gonna spend the day with the Buffs.
All right. Got the invitation from Dion?
Yeah. Texted with Dion yesterday, set it all up, and tomorrow, and it's going to be, Buff Day. So I'm looking forward to it. Go through meetings, practice, you know, the whole kit and caboodle.
Work with the offensive linemen?
Sure.
I'm really curious to get your thoughts because they have completely revamped the offensive line. Dion did not hesitate to throw the offensive line under the bus last season. Brand new offensive line, so be curious to see what you think.
When's he hopping on the show?
He inherited some bull junk. I will talk to him about jumping on the show.
I inherited some bull junk and I'm going to fix it.
There it is right there.
That's all you got to show him, all the drops we have of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a star.
You know the first thing he says to you.
Do you believe?
Yes, I do, Dion.
I'm not a doctor.
Oop, wrong one.
You don't believe?
I do believe. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't be up here.
You don't believe?
I do.
That'll be fun.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Because Deion Sanders, whether you like him, and I know some of you hate him, or you roll your eyes at what he has to say, or you don't buy the act, he is a fascinating figure. He is easily one of the three most fascinating people in Denver sports right now. And so for you to be in, you know, that natural element there at practice,
right,
behind the scenes, I'm curious to see what you have to say about it on Monday. I'll be looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Should be good, man. I'm excited to go.
What I want to see happen, I want you to bring all the offensive linemen and defensive linemen together.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you and Sapp to get down in the trenches. One-on-one. Mano a mano.
Who would you put your money on?
Ooh, I put it on you.
It's the right answer.
No, not because of that, but I don't think Sapp's as engaged in the locker room as you, in the weight room as you have been.
No, but I mean,
yeah, there's probably still some just old man strength there with him.
Dude, Sapp was probably never engaged in the weight room like I was, and Sapp was as good as it gets, as good as anybody's ever done it. That dude was a problem.
Well, that'll be fun. Can't wait to hear about it on Monday. Your day with the Buffs and Dion,
You'll tell us all about it on Monday. Hey, the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back. We're going to be sending you to the Pro Basketball Finals in June. And what you get two tickets to the game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who entered our last Fan Flyaway for the trip to Vegas, you are automatically registered and qualified for this one. Good luck. Uh-oh, we're hearing it's the generational war. The generational war has begun with our whole Jokic versus the big men of the past. Responses next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
Having fun with the Elway in today's era, Jokic in Elway's era of the NBA.
Yeah.
How would they fare? A lot of Elway love.
Mm-hmm.
Defenses can't touch quarterbacks today. Elway would be unstoppable. Another one. Are you kidding me? Give Elway the Kool-Aid man, and he'd do even more than Mahomes does. Andy Reid.
Oh, the Kool-Aid man. Hey, Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid.
Are you kidding? Athletes today are bigger, stronger, and faster than they've ever been. There are no past to present comparisons except for the crazy ones in your head. You know, I hear that one.
That's so stupid.
And then
to
somebody posted something the other day. It was 2 minutes of Sean Kemp highlights.
Right.
Folks, go back and look at Sean Kemp highlights, and you tell me that the athletes today are more athletic. Never mind whether or not the athletes, and this is what, going back about 25, 30 mm-hmm. years. You go look at Sean Kemp's highlights, and I'll argue the athletes today are not as athletic as Sean Kemp was.
And Sean Kemp was a freak show.
There were a lot of them. Vince Carter.
Dominic Wilkins.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. J. Like,
stop it.
They were doing that in Chuck T's. In horrible equipment, horrible shoes. Yeah, I'm not down with that.
I guess I would say that the only thing more annoying than people who say how great it was back in the day are the only thing more annoying than that are the ones that say, well, whatever happened 5 minutes ago was the best it ever was.
Yeah, yeah. I will tell you this, though. There are more big freak shows in today's game than there were back in the day.
What do you mean freak shows?
Like, big, like, huge people who are unbelievably athletic.
In football.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
But I'll put the freak shows of my time against the freak shows of any time and the freak shows before my time.
Can Lawrence Taylor play today?
Yeah. Lawrence Taylor would still be the best defensive player in football. You know, you think about Jim Brown. Look what Jim Brown was able to do. Syracuse guy, by the
mm-hmm.
way. Big lacrosse
player. Oh, no, really? I didn't know that.
Did you know that Jim Brown?
No, what?
Hall of Famer Jim Brown went to Syracuse?
No way!
Did you know he was a big lacrosse player?
You're kidding me!
No, I'm dead serious.
Wow.
Since you're stating incredible facts, did you know Philip Lindsay is from here and went to South?
No way!
Yes, yeah.
Insane.
Insane.
Crazy. Inconceivable.
Crazy.
Man, the stuff I'm learning today.
I know.
Never heard these.
Just stay by my side. Full of the teaching.
If Elway had all these mesh routes, he would put a hole through the crosser's chest. Okay, Cecil Lammy.
All right. Somebody learned the buzz term mesh route.
Can't wait for his next tax. I'm sure it'll include a dagger concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's see.
Can you imagine Elway throwing the slot fade out of a 3-by-1? That was Seth Rogen right there, kind of.
You did. Oh, man. Let's see. John Elway ruined it when he became the GM and made some terrible moves. Left a sour taste in my mouth. Nah, come on. Hey, for the first half, he was on a Hall of Fame GM trajectory and brought in Manning, brought us Peyton, put the pieces around. That great defense, no fly zone, won a Super Bowl. Now, it didn't end well, and he has to wear that. But you know how things work. The longer time goes by, you only tend to remember the good stuff and sort of ignore the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you forget that Michael Jordan finished up a wizard.
Yeah, yeah. But what he did when he was a Bull.
Right.
He was incredible.
Right. So let me see if I get this straight. The NBA players of today are more athletic, bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic than Michael Jordan. Okay. More athletic than Julius Erving. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sean Kemp.
I had forgotten about Kemp. And I stumbled across this and I just watched for 2 minutes. I was like, oh my God. Like, he would routinely do dunks that literally would have the people on ESPN today passing out.
Oh, dude, it was ridiculous. So you watched 2 minutes of highlights?
Yeah. Wait, come on, you want to say something? Go ahead, it's Friday. Go ahead. Come on, I know where you're going.
Are you pregnant?
I knew it! There you go. Air high five.
You are correct, sir.
I knew you were. I was waiting. I gave you a couple opportunities, and finally you took the bait.
I couldn't.
I knew you were.
I know.
Oh, that's good. That's good. If you take Mahomes over Elway, then Elway isn't winning championships in today's game.
What?
What does that mean? Elway absolutely wins championships today.
Sure.
Dan Marino today. Oh. Dan Marino with the you can't touch the quarterback rules.
Yeah.
And you know, the way you can't actually play defense anymore, you know, with receivers. What would Dan Marino's numbers look like?
He can't hit anybody.
Dan Marino's throwing Dan Marino was throwing for 5,000 yards when, you know, quarterbacks were lucky to throw for 3,000.
Right. Oh yeah, he cut people up today. Quick release, balls out.
But I guess if you're talking about the whole,
I mean, the ball is out of his hand, bro. She looked to me. It's not me on the porch at 5 o'clock in
the
afternoon.
That's what she said.
Getting a little sun.
Not you on the porch with a jar of ghee.
No.
Did you notice, by the way, like a loss of testosterone during the eclipse?
only by reporters on television. Oh, what? It's the golden ring, the golden ring.
Look at the red dot at 6 p.m.
No, God, please, no.
It's beautiful. I've never seen anything like it. Dude, I just wanted to punch people right in the face.
Oh, come on. I didn't like it when you said it. I don't like it now. That was,
I want to pound his ass.
That was cool. Come on. Life can
settle
be
down just a little bit.
Life can suck sometimes. Life can be very mundane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that comes along. And
so did you pack up your family and fly north?
No, I did not. To Houghton, Maine? No, I did not.
So you could sit down there and bring a second proposal to your wife. I want to remarry you over again. Lord have mercy. That's the problem with our society. We need to have a serious men's yarble growing. I'm just going to suggest this weekend, spend some time.
It's going to be warm out. It's going to be nice.
Spend some time on the porch, sunning your yarbles. Get your testosterone back.
Well, speaking of major yarbles, Tom Brady's got them. And maybe we haven't seen the last of Tom Brady? Details in What's Trending next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Well, just when you think he's gone, he's like Freddy Krueger. He's like Jason. You can't kill him. Tom Brady hinting strongly that if the right team came calling, he might listen about coming back to play.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Hey, look, Tom's not dumb. He knows he says something like that, it's going to cause reverberations. So, did he just throw out a...
Call me?
Call me?
Call me maybe?
Call me maybe?
Who sings that, Call Me Maybe? Call me maybe. Carly Rae Jepsen. Meet Carly Rae Jepsen.
No.
Dude, seriously, if you are the Raiders and he just mentioned you by name and you're right now, you got whoever you got. What's the guy's name over there?
Aiden O'Connell.
O'Connell. You wouldn't pick up the phone and go, hey, Tom. Antonio Pierce here. You know, beat you in the Super Bowl. How'd you like to come win one?
Well, you might not even have to call him. You could just walk up to the owner's suite.
Yeah.
So here's the issue with Brady. He thought about being an owner. This has been in the works for some time, but he hasn't gotten the go-ahead from the other owners. Why? Well, because the stake that he would be purchasing for the amount that he would be paying is a ridiculous, ridiculous good deal for Brady. And the other NFL owners are saying, now, wait a minute. You're going to give him like
10%.
10% of a franchise that's probably worth about $5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And he only has to pay like
$100 million.
Right.
Right.
It's the what he would have to pay for the percentage of stake of the team that he's getting, and the value of that stake is like, it's a ridiculous,
ridiculous bargain for Brady.
And other NFL owners are like, no.
It'd be like selling him 10% for $100 million and it's worth $800 million exactly. or $900 million.
That 10% to anybody else would be $800 million. You're getting it to Tom Brady for $100 million.
Yeah. But if you give him that deal and then you have him play quarterback for 2 years and don't pay him,
boy, you
and
know,
you win a championship.
So, because you know that... You know that there are teams out there that are going to be drafting one of these quarterbacks, and you know they're not going to be ready to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the coaches, the general managers, they're going to want to like bring that quarterback along slowly. Being able to point to Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love, and even Tom Brady didn't play until his second year. The idea being, you know, hey, bring him along slowly, but the fan pressure would be so intense that it'd be tough to do.
Unless Tom Brady like, is in your locker.
So let's say the Patriots draft Drake May at number 3.
Mm-hmm.
But the prevailing opinion is Drake May isn't ready. We want to sit on him for a year. Right now they get Jacoby Brissett. good luck selling that to a fan base that's going to be itching to see the kid play.
Right.
Ah. But if you bring Tommy back.
Tommy.
Then all of a sudden, why don't we trade Drake May?
Yeah. I'm just thinking to myself, like, what teams should be reaching out?
Well, he mentioned teams they'd be interested in. He said, well, you know, if the Patriots, Raiders, did he say 49ers?
Yeah. So, New England, obviously. Vegas, yes. Gosh. Pittsburgh? Well, could he beat out Russell Wilson?
No.
Probably not.
No. He'd be the third string quarterback behind Russ and Fields.
Indianapolis, Tennessee, yes, yes. Giants, Washington, yes, yes. San Francisco, they got Purdy. Arizona, he wouldn't go play for Arizona, would he?
No. But it's spicy. Keep an eye on it because it certainly looked like he just let everyone know. Call me. The details of the Shohei Ohtani betting scandal are mind-blowing. So apparently, allegedly, the interpreter, his friend, stole money from Ohtani and used that money to place bets.
Uh-huh.
He had losing bets of nearly $183 million, winning bets of more than $142 million, so $41 million in losses. He placed some 19,000 bets with a bookie. And I saw this opinion out there, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. No bookie in the world is taking those bets unless they know it's Ohtani. And this interpreter is the most legendary fall guy of all time. I just hope his payoff is substantial.
Hmm.
Nobody truly believes this, right?
Right.
That this guy went completely, rogue.
Uh-huh. Right. It does feel a little bit...
It feels fishy.
Yeah, it does feel fishy.
It feels fishy.
Can I share an insane stat with you real quick?
Yes, insane stat there, Johnny Fever.
Mizuhara's gambling debt, I saw this on Twitter, Mizuhara's gambling debt, $40.7 million. The entire A's payroll, $43.2
million. Oh,
dude. If he really pulled it off without the knowledge of anybody and just by pretending to be Ohtani, that dude's a legend.
John Calipari. I'll give Calipari credit for this. I think he's kind of the epitome of kind of slimy, greasy, big-time college sports.
Uh-huh.
But this was funny. So he leaves Kentucky. He takes the job at Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
By the way, kind of weird. Did you see the press conference?
No. Did he go total Southern? No.
Like Brian Kelly? No.
Yeah, Brian Kelly?
So, like, before he comes out, it's in the gymnasium. It's in the arena.
Uh-huh.
And they've got the dais set up.
Uh-huh.
They got all the boosters and everybody and the fans standing there,
mm-hmm.
and they all break into the Woo Pig Suey thing,
mm-hmm.
and they do it like three times. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, there's something cool about this,
but right?
There's also something creepy cultish about this.
Uh huh.
I was getting cult vibes.
Okay.
Anyway, so Calipari comes out and he had this to say:
I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now, Hunter's really extremely confident.
They have one guy on the roster right now.
Can you play a game with one guy?
Because of the graduation and portal and all that stuff. That's funny, because I talked to the team. We don't have a team. I talked to the team. It's one person.
It'd be interesting to see what he comes up with. Like, obviously, guys are going to want to go to Arkansas and play, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Arkansas, I'm assuming, has a bunch of money.
Hey, say whatever you will about Calipari, and I'm not a fan of him, but he embraced and ran with the one-and-done
mm-hmm.
idea. hey, you want to go to the NBA? I'll get you to the NBA.
Right.
And while his model hasn't led to a ton or not as much success as Kentucky fans wanted, you can't argue that he gets people to the league.
Steve Atwater
no
went
cap. To... Kentucky guys all over the place.
Atwater went to Arkansas. Right? When he Razorback?
Ask Jamal Murray about Cal. Hey,
let me ask you this. Where was... Where is Arkansas? What town is Arkansas in?
Oh,
Fayetteville.
Yeah.
I'm sure Fayetteville, Arkansas is nice, right?
I really thought you were going to ask me, what state is Arkansas in? I thought we were going there. I know.
It's a good question.
You all thought the same thing.
It's a good question.
I guarantee you a lot of people thought that.
Yeah.
Elway running Spider 2Y Banana would be unstoppable today.
Hey, man. Tell you what, man. Spider 2Y Banana. It's my favorite play.
Hey, coming up next, John Buchagras has been on the Colorado hockey beat. Two Avalanche games for ESPN. DU Pioneer game yesterday, advancing to the finals of the Frozen Four. We'll hear from Bucci next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Brass Monkey, that funky monkey.
What a week.
Brass Monkey, chunky,
FOS, friend of stink, monkey. ESPN's John Buchagras has had. Following the Colorado hockey scene, called the Avalanche game against Dallas last Sunday, called the Avalanche Wild game the other night, and then... went up to St. Paul and called DUBU in the Frozen Four semifinals yesterday. We had a chance to talk to him earlier this morning, and Mark asked him his impressions of the Avalanche after watching him play twice.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, for sure. You know, they're really, really good at home and not on the road. You know, you don't like to have those big disparities. Good teams tend to win everywhere, wherever they are. And for whatever reason, they have this, you know, at home, they're so much better than they are on the road. And, you know, they might, if you don't have home ice in the playoffs, then that's a problem. And so that is a concern. Now, some teams can flip the switch once the playoffs come around. You know, they won it all 2 years ago. And so perhaps, you know, you can just dial it back up, and that's possible, but it still has to be a concern when over 80 games you have this disparity home and away. You are giving up a lot of grade A chances. The goalie's kind of hot and cold. You know, so in this, of course, in the midst of McKinnon having a career year, Rantanen, you know, was have career year in certain areas. So, and Makar's back to 20 goals again. He is a career high in points, even more than his Norris Trophy winning year. So you have those, that big three doing what they do. But, you know, I think one thing you have to give them a break, but, you know, let's face it, they have to fix it quickly, is they made a lot of moves. A lot of roster moves. You know, Logan O'Connor gets hurt, so then he's out. So they make all these deals at the deadline. There's a lot of different stuff going on in the bottom six, and they have to bring in a new defenseman. So, you know, maybe they do need some more time. But they better hurry up, obviously, because the playoffs start in a couple weeks.
Mr. John Buchagras from ESPN called a couple Avs games, called the DU game yesterday. Watching Nathan McKinnon do what he did the other night, it was incredible, even for all of us who have watched McKinnon for so long. Can you recall the last time that you saw somebody skate around NHL players, the best in the world, as effortlessly as he did?
No, I mean, it's only him and McDavid that can do that. But yeah, he's just a freak show. Like, you know, he's one of those big new Tesla giant SUV square truck things, you know, that just gets flying downhill. And how the hell do you handle that guy? And it's like Barry Sanders when he made NFL players look silly. Like, just some guys just have that level and just look different. And that's what he is right now. And you really didn't notice that. And then when we talked to him after the game, the first thing he said was, "I woke up feeling good today." It's like, yeah, he just felt different. There is definitely an extra gear. And a long professional season in any sport, I remember back in high school sports, there were days my body just felt weird, and I just you couldn't make a free throw, you couldn't throw the ball to first base from shortstop. It's just you're off kilter. And in other games, you just feel a little bit better. So at that level, I'm sure it's the same thing. Occasionally, you know, they just don't quite feel their best. And but some days you wake up and you just feel different, energized. And he obviously did that. And it was, and he took his foot off the gas. I think he could have scored 7 goals if he really wanted to that night. But he felt bad that he made Minnesota look so terrible.
He was incredible. And I think one of the things that probably goes unnoticed, and you guys did a great job on the broadcast, but, you know, the assist he had to Lehkonen, like that was one where, you know, I think most guys will take a shot. And he's like, I don't got a great shot, but let me set my partner up on a backhand, just assist that was, like, it was as good as those, you know, goals that he scored in the hat trick. And I guess here, you know, we're waiting for Mackinnon to kind of get nationally recognized. I don't know if you have a vote or not, but is he the, you know, is he the MVP? Is he the Hart Trophy winner?
Yeah, I've had a vote the last 2 years for all the big awards. I haven't heard if I'm doing one this year. I haven't heard yet, so my guess is maybe I don't. I think they kind of rotate some broadcasters around a little bit, give people, like, different people a chance. But what I was thinking if I did have a vote was just whoever wins the scoring title between him, Kucherov, and McDavid, because they were so even. But then when you do have the 50 goals, you know, and if he gets more goals, maybe he deserves it. It's just so difficult because it is so even. I just don't think there's – I think they should give an award for each conference. I mean, baseball still gives 2 MVP awards and 2 Cy Young awards. No, that's because the league's never played each other before, and now they do have interleague play. But they still give the 2 awards. And I think that's smart because there's so many teams now. You know, up to 32 teams, and the schedules are a bit different. So why not just give 1 in the East and 1 in the West? Those guys are going to retire, and their resume won't quite reflect the player they are because they're never going to win a major award because every year there's so many players they go up against. I mean, hockey used to have 6 teams. You know, now there's 32. And so, you know, it makes it really difficult. So I think having 2 conferences, MVP awards and everything else would just kind of alleviate that. Then you could vote for Kucherov in the East and Mackinnon in the West.
Well, John, you'll love this because Mark always talks about with the football games he does for Fox that if 50% of the audience loves you and 50% of them hate you, then you're doing a great job. We got this text. Hey, tell Buchagross that he was as much of a homer play-by-play and color guy that you can get for BU without actually just being on Nesson.
Good. All I had to say, Bushy, is good job then by you. That's a good job. I get those texts all the time or those tweets all the time.
I was thinking about doing the play-by-play with the Boston accent. There's bros in the corner, bros in the pack in the corner, throws it up top. Oh, that's a goal for the Pioneer.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Bushy, man, all the best to you. It's always great to catch you. How's your golf game real quick?
It's eroding quickly. You know, the back is stiff. I don't play as much. You know, my beautiful blue eyes don't see as well as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a train wreck. You know, I always have the second best blue eyes at ESPN when Schlereth was there. So when he left, it was the best day of my life.
Bushy.
So tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock our time, DU and Boston College for the national championship. DU beat Boston College at BC way back in October, early in the season. So much, you know, different teams now. But BC is, they are the heavy favorite. I believe last time I checked Vegas odds for that game, Boston College was a minus 320 favorite over the Pioneers. But hey, DU, you got to feel like they feel like why not us, right? They've played 3 tournament games, all 2-1 games, 2 of them going to overtime. Hey, this is a team that's been battle tested, and this is a team that probably feels, don't let us hang around.
Yeah.
Don't let us hang around.
Hey, little cool, you know, we're following the O's, and they're 8-4. Our team's 8-4 right now.
Yep. Just swept the Red Sox.
Just swept the Red Sox. But I got another cool baseball story for you. So a kid by the name of Tyler Jay, who was a 6th overall pick, probably 19.
This is a great story. Go ahead.
Probably 2016 or so. So my son, you know, is the pitching coach for Western Michigan, but he also coaches this team called the Slammers, independent league in the summer.
Joliet
Slammers. And this Tyler Jay has been out of baseball for several years, got injured, then had this esophagus issue where his esophagus swelled and he couldn't eat and all kinds of issues. Then he was, his wife was pregnant and they had, you know, twins, and he was out of baseball for 2 years. And so he's moved back into that area, and my son got him on his team.
The Slammers.
Yeah, the Slammers. Went and played catch with him and said, you want to play for us? And anyhow, encouraged him to get back into baseball, encouraged him to pitch. And, you know, he's got great command. He throws strikes all the time, four different pitches. But basically just worked with him. Really cool story. And he got called up to the big leagues after being out of baseball for 2 years. And basically, like, the kid like was like, I don't know, I don't want to play, you know, the, and encouraged him to get going and encourage him, and then was on the phone every day calling teams. If you don't sign him, you guys are stupid. Got him signed last year after 2 years with the Slammers, and got him back into the Mets organization, and he pitched for the Mets last night. He pitched two innings. He gave up a run, but pitched two innings, and they won. They beat Atlanta. So really cool story. So congratulations. A little humble brag on my boy. And there's this Tyler J, a great story. So I am now following not only the O's, but I'm following the Mets and the National League just because I want to watch this kid have success.
Who do the Rockies play this weekend? I honestly don't. Toronto. They're
in
Toronto.
I'm not following the Rockies.
They're in Toronto.
I'm following Baltimore.
Yep.
And now the Mets.
R.O.'s, man. R.O.'s.
Wait, Tyler J. That's a great story, right?
That's a great story. Kind of a little
out of baseball. Like, well, my son said he called when he got called up. He called Daniel just bawling.
Oh my God, that's
like
so
just
cool.
Bawling.
Oh,
just,
that's
thank
so
you
cool.
so much.
Oh,
and
that's
thank
so
you
good.
For encouraging me, and thank you for, you know, I mean, not letting me quit and da 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 da. So really cool story.
Daniel's going to be a big time baseball coach.
Yeah,
he's going to be a big time college baseball coach. I see it.
That's yeah, he's a great coach.
Big weekend coming up. We got the Nuggets tonight in San Antonio. Be careful. Be careful. You feel great after the big win over the Timberwolves, and everyone's telling you you've basically clinched the number one seed. You still got to go out and beat San Antonio and Memphis on the road, two teams that you absolutely should beat. But San Antonio, they're 20-60 this year, but they're 5-4 in their last nine games. Wembanyama has busted through the rookie wall,
yeah.
And so just be careful. They should get it done, but be careful. It could be a trap.
Right.
It's a trap. And then the Avalanche tomorrow at home against Winnipeg, it's huge. The Avalanche are the best home team in the NHL. And home ice likely on the line when they play Winnipeg tomorrow at home. A Winnipeg team that had lost six in a row, but now has won five in a row, including winning and shutting out Dallas in Dallas last night. So they're playing well. So a big one tomorrow for the Avs. Good luck to the Avs. Good luck to the Nuggets. Good luck to the Pioneers. And good luck to our Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we get out of here, one more reminder that you can get signed up to win in our fan flyaway presented by Sport Clips. Giving you a chance to head to the basketball finals in June. And you'll get two tickets to the game. Round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel and $500 of spending money. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And if you already signed up for our last fan flyaway to Vegas, you are already automatically registered. So get there. Good luck. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mark, have fun with Dion and the Buffs tomorrow
Thank
up in
you.
Boulder. Can't wait to hear all about it on Monday. We'll turn it over to Dover and Stoke next.